Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? It is the Christmas time season. Hopefully you and yours are having a safe holiday season thus far and continues that way all throughout. This week we've got one game on the schedule. Team Maryland was in action to close out their 2020 portion of the schedule. We got some news from around colleges, from around the area as well. So stay tight, hang tight. I don't know what it means. We're not doing any kind of promo here. I'm just going one story into another, so I don't know why I said that, but alas, here we go. We'll get kicked off with Team Maryland, who had their last game, before the 2020, calendar winds down. And I thought they had another game on this past Thursday. Apparently I'm a liar. So there we are. But they played the Little Flyers once again, and this time, I'm sure they beat them earlier this year too, they beat the Philadelphia Little Flyers 7-4 on the back of a 5-goal second period for Team Maryland. They erupted for a lot of goals in that second frame and kept things going there. They got down early first, down 2-0, thanks to goals from Mikey Giapapa and Scott McGall from the Philadelphia Little Flyers, and they didn't give up. Team Maryland didn't give up. They kind of learned from this season as it's gone on that they can come back against any team, and they did that in the second period. Started off the minute 12 in, Kyle Peters with an even-strength goal from Patrick Nowak and Justin Gusso. Then 4 minutes later, Denny Arkhipenko on the power play for Connor Ball and Vince Maurice, and then Nowak gets a goal of his own from Curtis Berthright and Gusso on his second assist. Giampapa with another goal for the Little Flyers, but just a mere 13 seconds after that goal, Bobby Guyer with an even-strength goal for Arkhipenko and Evan Donnelly, making it 4-3, and then to end out the frame with 47 seconds left, Connor Ball on a power play again from Ben Brockway and Arkhipenko on that one. So a wild second period for Team Maryland, including two power play goals, which is something they've had problems on capitalizing on in the past in the recent past games that they've had, but luckily able to bank in on two of them in the second period alone. Third period brought about Johnny Scardizzo from Philadelphia. He makes it a 1-goal game at 5-4, but Bobby Guyer took over after that. 6:04 remaining in the third, a power play goal for him from Ball and Brockway, and then Guyer gets the hat trick. Even strength, 7-4. Natty Bow Hattie there, Horn, as Team Maryland goes on to win 7-4. Team Maryland 3-4 on the power play, making it count 75%. Can't do any better than, well, 4-4, but all things considered, can't do any better than what's given to you. Oliver Quinn with a big game, 28 saves in the winning effort. Maryland throwing a lot of shots in there, 43-32 on the shot clock total there, and a big 5-goal second period. PK also doing well, killing off all three chances for the Little Flyers. Where does that put the Team Maryland right now as they end this, they go into their break? Well, puts them second in the Mid-Atlantic Division. They're 10-9-2 with 22 points, 16 points behind New Jersey, who is just far and away one of the premier teams in the EHL. The goal differential, however, minus 11, not really looking all that great. Three and seven in their last 10 as well. Not a solid look overall, but still, they can build off of that. They're 1 point ahead of the Philadelphia Flyers and 2 points ahead of the Connecticut Rough Riders in that one. So I think in the grand scheme of things, you like what you see out of Maryland. There's been peaks and valleys. I mean, they went on a big run to start the season, got into the EHL top five, but as things have progressed, a little bit of leveling out and all this, and now it's time for the guys to find an extra gear, get rejuvenated throughout their off time, and then come back looking for a vengeance, as it were. Overall, power plays worked really well at a 19.8 clip right now for 96 power plays, and so at a 96 power plays, pretty solid there. The PK could do a little better, only 76.5 effectiveness. The penalties have been kind of even. They've gotten as many power plays as they have been given, or as they've been had against them. So that's a big move for them, and I think overall it's a good stepping stone to have. When it comes to point percentage, however, just a tick under 500 thanks to some overtime losses, but still, It's a team that's looking ahead and learning from what they've done as they get to, I believe it's almost halfway. I think they said they're playing 42, so they're at that halfway point at 21 games. Arkhipenko, the captain, as well as Bobby Guyer, they're holding fort for this offense. A lot of contributions from this team, though. I'm looking at 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 guys in double digits in points. The power play, like I said, kind of firing pretty well. 3 goals from Bobby Guyer, Connor Ball, Evan Donnelly all have 3 on the power play. Guyer leading the way in goals with 11. He's tied with Arkhipenko at 19. Vince Maurice with 14 assists. He's tied with Arkhipenko for the team lead in assists there. And all the way down the board, this team has played very well. Goaltending has kind of been, you know, up and down. Bobby McCloskey's played very well at the beginning, then kind of faltered a little bit. Oliver Quinn seems to be taking the crease right now, and you know, he's played fairly well, 281 and a 922 save percentage, 4-2-0 in his 7 games played. McCloskey, 6 wins, 7 losses, 397 and an 892 save percentage in his 14 games. He's played a lot. So those numbers are going to, you know, obviously be a little higher given what you have out there. But overall, I think that this team is going in the right direction. They're trending in the right direction. They've played well in December. I mean, it was a shaky November, let's be honest here, having 5 straight losses from the mid part of November all the way to the end. And then December, you know, get a win at the first day of December, get 2 losses, 2 tough losses, losing leads in the third period. Or losing tie games in the third period, and then a big win, a come-from-behind win, a character win, as it were, for this team going into the break. What's next for the Team Maryland? The Little Flyers are back again. How about that? As of right now, January 5th, they will be playing at tentatively Piney Orchard. We all know it's probably going to be Ice World. And then they go to play against Pro Tech on the 8th and 9th of January, so that to look forward to, a big week as they come back. First week of January coming up here. Black Bears, again, off. They are on their 2020 break, or their kind of mid-season, quarter-season break, as it were. So nothing news out of them, but we do have some college news to speak of as, first off, a big shocker, I would say, coming out of the Northeast General, Seth Bergeron, who played for the Maryland Black Bears earlier this year. He was picked up in part of the dispersal draft of the Jamestown Rebels. He's decided to leave the NAHL and has jumped right into Stevenson University to play D3 once they get their season going. So Bergeron played 10 games for the Black Bears, was traded to Northeast about a month ago, I believe, for a draft pick in the NAHL draft coming back. But now he didn't play any games for Northeast and is now moving onward to the Division III out of the NAHL, starting his college career. So we'll be probably talking a little bit more about Seth Bergeron as the days go on, as he starts his career at Stevenson up there in Reisterstown. So tip of the cap to him. Congratulations on moving on to your next portion of your career. And what is that going to entail? When's that season going to start? Well, a couple of weeks back, the MAC, the Middle Atlantic Conference, which is where the Stevenson University, a majority of their sports teams play, and which the men and women's teams do participate within that conference, they put out a statement saying the tentative plan for things is they're going to meet over the next few months, continue to track trajectory of the pandemic and resulting health and safety recommendation or mandates from local, state, and national public health to go on forward. When it comes to hockey, however, the MAC said they will rely on the United College Hockey Conference, UCHC, decision as it pertains to men and women's hockey and go on from there. So basically they are pushing forward and saying, hey, we were going to yield everything. We'll take care of the basketball, the indoor track, all this other stuff, which they canceled indoor track championships and the wrestling championships this year. They've had tentative plans for basketball, swimming season. Is possibly going to change. But they're like, you know what, hockey, we're going to defer to the UCHC. You guys can have some time with that. Obviously, all these conferences and the sort are going to make sure that the student-athletes are taken care of, are kept healthy, are kept safe, not going to be put in a bad position, and not going to defy state legislature as well in terms of what's going to go on with the pandemic and how they can and can't play. So that's the update for D3. We have yet to hear from the UCHC if I am if I'm reading things properly, not really much has been updated for their side of things. So we wait to hear what they're going to do, what things are going to happen with that, both on the men and the women's side of things. We'll just have to wait. We will just have to play the waiting game as we are wont to do with this whole season. The last thing on their website is about the 2026 Division III Men's Hockey Championships at Adirondack Bank Center. So, I mean, you know, do what you can with that. On the other side of things, however, when you look at Stevenson's club participation, the MACH, which is the Mid-Atlantic College Hockey Conference, which is the D2 school, which houses Stevenson and the University of Maryland Terrapins, they have talked about the expectations when it comes to the 2021 season for the spring. Again, they said due to the uncertainty of the environment, unique situations are at this time. The MACH is changing the expectations of spring. The changes are detailed below. The MAHC will not be requiring a minimum number of games played. They will not be requiring teams to play within the conference in order to be eligible for any postseason play. They will continue to monitor each university's situation as well as the state of the pandemic to determine the best course of action regarding the playoff and committing to providing its members with flexibility of scheduling to provide the best experience possible for members. So with this, it gives the MACH the ability to make decisions on the in the spring semester on the ability of the members to compete. Also gives teams more freedom to compete in games early in the semester without feeling they could make an adverse effect to the program later on, obviously, with guys graduating and things like that. You know, this is just a club team, not to put a knock on them, but it's not a situation where you know, this is kind of volunteer stuff. If guys don't want to go ahead and risk it for the biscuit, which I completely understand, it's a pandemic for Christ's sake. We should be taking care of ourselves. Then they have the ability to opt out, and I think that that's something that they should have the right to do. And as much as hard work as these guys are going through, and well, they want to play hockey, and I understand that, but at the same time, you know, they probably don't want to put their health at risk too. And the MACH and also the ACHA doing what they can to make sure things are safe and diligent there. So we will have to see how this all goes down. It is a fluid situation. And one of the bigger things is that Mike Ergo, who is the president of the league and also the head coach of Stevenson's ACHA team, has been taking a big part of this, kind of taking a thing about moving forward and how this thing will go. So evaluations will be under advisory to everybody involved. So there's going to be facilitating of interested clubs that want to schedule games. You know, a lot of interconferences, maybe just locales. We'll have to see how this all pans out and if a season is going to be up there. Overall, there will be a season next year, 21-22. This season is going to be just a very weird situation, and we will have to see how this all goes. So we'll have to keep up to date with everything going on and then move on from there for that. So there's a little college update for you, kind of the first we've heard from any kind of divisions, either in the NCAA or HCHA. So it's good to at least have something going as we move forward onto, you know, 2020, the dawning of 2021. So some big news coming out of Montgomery County. All the games in Montgomery County have been postponed, and the MSHL and also the CBHL are going to have to relocate some games as well. So that came down as an executive order from Montgomery County. As of 5 p.m. on Friday the 11th, things were shut down in MoCo. And the 18th. The 11th was the week before. But everything was shut down in MoCo. The Montgomery teams had to move to Abington to play at Ice World. There was a game between the 12U teams for the Montgomery County Blue Devils. They played in Abington, which is far and away from their homestead in Rockville, or even Cabot John for that matter. And all the MSHLs and the Montgomery MSHL games in the Montgomery Conference have been postponed for the time being. So this is a situation where now high schools in the area are getting to be affected. We will have to see how this all pans out in general, if this goes to other regions as well. This will obviously affect where ice time can be held in terms of when the prep schools get going, the Mid-Atlantic Prep League gets going, if they get going. That has yet to be determined if they're going to get going. So we will have to see where this all leads, what counties will be a little bit start to ease restrictions start to ease things here and there. And a lot of this also has to deal with some people saying that hockey is a bad situation. So there is something in the post from the fourth of December. It was in the actual paper on the 5th. It was online on the 4th about how places in the Northeast have shut down youth hockey. Massachusetts has done that. Maine had a referee expose up to 400 people in 2 days. New Hampshire, they shut down youth hockey for 2 weeks to get cases under control and mandated testing for all 20,000 players. So it's a situation where you had whole teams being quarantined. You had situations where teams were getting quarantined and their games or seasons get canceled. It's a widespread thing, and people think that ice hockey is an anomaly, saying that hockey-related outbreaks, scientists are studying hockey-related outbreaks to find clues about ideal conditions, because obviously rinks are different, and the etymology of things are different. Humidity, rink temperatures, how it stays frozen, the air circulation, and all this. It's an interesting piece, although some people believe it is a stretching of the facts, as it were. The article points out to hockey being part of a culture in the Northeast of the country. Kids wanting to play much, much more, and you know, creating very large social networks. But you know, the initial cases of 108 hockey cases in Massachusetts, exposing 3,000 to 4,000 others is an interesting risk. Then talk about the outbreaks in Florida, including two adult league hockey players who had no contact with each other. The investigators of that speculated indoor space and close contacts increased the infection rate. The plexiglass kind of vented it in. Surface kept around 20 Fahrenheit ambient air in the 50s. In Florida, or the humidity in the air, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's a very scientific thing. I kind of slept through the middle of it. Basically, they said, hey, listen, you can't have people go in and out. We need a bubble like the NHL has. And albeit the bubble is a smart idea, I mean, you can control the narrative there. You can kind of control where people can and can't come in or leave or this, that, or the other, where they can roam. It worked in the NHL for their playoffs. The NCHC, the Division I men's hockey, that worked. They just got out of Omaha, finished their last games this afternoon, 38 games in a two-week span. They got through with no positive testing. All the games got off without a hitch. Overall, so the bubble idea does work. The problem is with youth sports, you can't bubble things up. It's hard to do that. I mean, you can't take kids out of there. You can't expect kids to do that. So it's a situation where you balance having a bubble, like wanting kids to play because it's good for their mental health and it's good for them to get out and get exercise, and you know, and it's going to be a cure-all to get back to normal life, and the fact that we're in a pandemic, you balance that out. In a response to that, Linda Jondo, the president of the Potomac Valley Amateur Hockey Association, which is one of the governing bodies for the CBHL and hockey within the area, she stated that the risk mitigation strategy around hockey in the area has been very effective. Maryland adopted statewide safety standards legally required by some counties that major rinks in the area have variously implemented. Local clubs and rinks have banned the use of locker rooms and, among other measures, adopted strict building ingresses and egresses procedures, social distancing on player benches, and masks for everyone who enters facility, including players when not on the ice, which is something we've heard from photographer to the Stars, Johnny P, who went at the Black Bears games. You know, even on hockey TV, you notice that the players stay on the bench at Ice World for the intermissions. That's technically their locker room. He's taken shots of guys who come in. They put their skates on and away they go. They don't mingle around. They're just in, out, gone, back. There's temperature checks everywhere. You know, President Robin Remick is putting things in bags and for guys to smell, to make sure they still have smell. And it's very weird to me that there haven't been more outbreaks for guys traveling in any part of the league, whether it be the NAHL, the USHL, anywhere that junior hockey is allowed to travel. I'm surprised there hasn't been more outbreaks reported. Whether or not they're actually being reported, whether or not they're skimming off the top, I don't know. I can't say. I'm not trying to put a conspiracy theory out there, but I just did, I guess. Linda John Doe went on to say, there's no scientific evidence that hockey is riskier than other sports. Supposedly, unventilated stratified air poses the greater risk. While the Zamboni used in most rinks require powerful ventilation and filtration systems capable of exchanging the air columns and regulating humidity many times per day. Tens of thousands of people in this area rely on ice hockey for their exercise, camaraderie, and livelihoods. And that last line's like, okay, I get that. But again, you know, the balance of wanting to play hockey and the balance of this is a global pandemic and we maybe should not be putting ourselves at risk out there in the greater scheme of things. I love hockey being played. I'm not going to say that I don't. I love being able to turn on hockey TV, see teams play. It's great. But you also kind of can't fight the state or the local regulations in that, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be doing this right now. Maybe we kind of, you know, stomp things out a little bit. You know, wear a mask, do this, that, and other things. I mean, here in North Dakota, we went from 13,000 active cases to 4,000 within a week. And that's from mask mandates and things closing early and restrictions here, there, and everywhere. I mean, youth sports got shut down. And I'm not saying that youth sports were a harbinger of all of this, but I mean, you slow things down by taking things away, and that's how this all works. I'm not a scientist. I just work at a hospital, and that's you kind of hear things here and there. So I'm not going to deem myself to be an expert. Obviously, there are people who are skilled in that, and you should listen to that, but, you know, also listen to it and do your own research as well. Don't kind of just stay there and say, oh, yeah, no, that's right. Kind of do the research yourself and say, okay, I mean, you mean well there, but this is how it really happens. So, I don't know. It was an interesting read. If you guys want to check it out as on the WAPO, what you do is you search up Washington Post, ice rinks, coronavirus, and then hit the cash thing, because if you don't hit the cash deal, they'll make you they'll yell at you for not having a subscription. But if you have a subscription to WAPO, you can go ahead and do that too. So, ta-da! Let's get to some of the players, as there is some players to talk about, as there are some games played this weekend. Jason O'Neill, the senior out of Odington, Maryland, and he's in his last season in Providence. He got a goal, 1 of 5 against Northeastern, as Providence beat Northeastern 5-0 on Sunday. One goal on one shot. Pretty good shooting percentage, if you do say so myself. Veronica Petty, she got her season going this year. They've played 2 games, Northeastern's women's side. Nothing to show for it yet for Petty, who is in her senior season as well. We'll have to follow her last season. A little bit of dip after a good sophomore season where she had 34 points in 38 games. Last year, only 18 points in 38 games for another very strong Northeastern team. So we will follow her track, see if she can get a bounce back, get back on the higher side of things as this weird season continues to move onward and upward. Johnny Molera, also University of Maine player right now. He comes out of the Brockville area and the Team Maryland 16U, as well as the Skipjacks hockey organization. I believe that's the first year they went to York in 15-16. But played 1 game so far. On the 11th, so a couple Fridays ago, in a 1-1 tie against University of New Hampshire. No stat line for that. No goals, no assists, no shots on goal, no plus-minus, nothing. But got in the game. So he is now one of our on-track personalities here for the Chesapeake Hockey Week. Other than that, I can't find anybody else here who has had many games to speak of. So that's that. I think I can end it here. Thank you all very much for listening. I appreciate it. I don't think next week we will have a show. I think that we were going to take the weekend off, or the week off. There's no games going on. Not really much going on in general. So we will take this week off, and then the Black Bears come back January 1st. Maybe I'll get something ahead of that. I will have to talk to some people. Maybe we can get some stuff for the Tuesday. And then we'll go on from there. We will see how it goes. Got some things in the pot, stirring the pot. Look at the flick of the wrist. I don't know what that means. Guys, please stay safe out there. Have a wonderful holiday season. If you celebrate Christmas, if you celebrated Hanukkah, if you celebrate Kwanzaa, if you celebrate Festivus, Please stay safe, be cheerful, be merry, enjoy what you can, be grateful for what you have, just be, you know, this all sucks for everybody. I'm not going to sugarcoat it anymore. This stinks. I don't like it one bit. I probably like it as much as you guys, but at the same time, just breathe, take it all in, enjoy the time, and, you know, make the most of it is what all we can do. So you guys be well. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been the Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Find us, clutchandcrabhockey.com, twitter.com/ChesapeakeHWPod, and facebook.com/ChesapeakeHWPod. Be well. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, because I probably won't talk to you until then, till after then. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just doddering. Guys, be good. If you play, go play that Clutch and Crab Hockey, even if it's on the video games machines. And I'll talk to you next time through. Peace.